AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
So they're buying those seeds right now to plant in the spring. They won't harvest them till next fall. And so what's the market going to look like by then? We have no idea. And when things change so quickly, that makes it hard to make those decisions. So we need trade agreements, but we need long-term trade agreements and that certainty for farmers.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Welcome to AgBio Science. I'm Kayla Chittister, producer of the podcast, this week's host of the show. Indiana Farm Bureau has outlined its policy priorities for 2026. And this week, we're joined by Katie Nelson, Executive Director of Public Policy for the organization. We talk about the three buckets where they focus, why they're so broad, and the call to action for everyone in the ag bioscience community to help drive solutions forward. Please enjoy this conversation with Katie Nelson on Ag Bioscience. Katie, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks for having me today.
Congrats on the new role.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great.
90 days?
90 days.
All right. Well, before we look ahead, which we are, of course, going to do, I think probably important to recap 2025 from a legislative perspective. Share the Farm Bureau overview of sort of where we've been from a policy perspective and maybe some lingering challenges that persist for Farm Bureau members.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, Farm Bureau really focused on water and taxes. Those were the two things that we were hearing repeatedly from our members that were concerns and challenges that they wanted us to address. So on taxes, we obviously got Senate Enrolled Act 1, which has been kind of a whirlwind to understand what all was in that bill, but was really a sweeping realignment of property taxes. Now, what we are hearing from legislators is that this was kind of just a start, right? This is a long-term plan, and there's going to be some more needed on property taxes, but at least it was a good place to start, and we'll see, you know, what happens after that. The other one was water. So we got Senate Enrolled Act 28 with Senator Sue Glick passed, which really focused on groundwater protections. In the past, under the previous law, users would have to bear the burden and the liability for any loss of water, and they were liable in court. And now there's a program with Department of Natural Resources, DNR, to fix those issues. They have a reporting and investigation process that's managed by DNR, so that was a win for our members as well.
You guys recently released the priorities for 26, kind of falling into these three buckets. Walk me through the broad scope of what those are and where you plan to focus heading into the new year.
Yeah. Last year, our priorities were really specific. This year, they're a little broader, which I think is a good thing given the current environment. You know, just this last week, Governor Braun called a special session. And so that's going to change how things go on during our regular session as well. And so we have these broad priorities and we will see what we can get through. Those three buckets are encouraging investment in agriculture, strengthening rural communities, and supporting Indiana's farms and farmers. And if you go through those three buckets, you know, we know that the farm economy is in a tough spot right now. It is harder than in a long time for farmers to even break even this year, which when you talk to other business people, that's not something that they're used to. But unfortunately, it's something that our farmers go through all the time. And so, when you look at that, then it's incredibly important that we invest in those farmers and in that next generation, because that next generation is coming up into this where it could be difficult to get an operating loan and make those decisions for the next crop year. That also includes creating incentives for rural entrepreneurship and providing opportunities for farms to diversify. Corn and soybean prices are low, fertilizer prices are up, cash rent is up. And so if we can provide opportunities for them to diversify into other things, that can help as well.
There's a general nature to these, and so I kind of want to peel these back one at a time. And when you look at this investment in agriculture, paint for me some color on the challenges farmers are facing and the Farm Bureau approach to this legislation and how you're hoping to move forward objectively with some measures that will help them be successful.
Yeah. So, you know, one piece of color I can provide, just look at fertilizer prices. Fertilizer is something that farmers apply every single year. It's not something that they can skip. Now, they may come down on how much they apply, but it's a cost that's always there. Our president, Randy Crone, is a real-life farmer every day, and And he was just telling me the other day about the fertilizer costs on his own farm. And each of those different fertilizers was up anywhere from 22% to, I think he said, 35%. And that's just from last fall to this fall. And so now farmers are looking to try to make those decisions on, do I apply fertilizer now? Do I wait till the spring? Is it going to be lower in the spring, or could it be even higher than it is now? And so when Farm Bureau looks at those types of struggles, how can we help them in other ways? And one of those ways is continuing to look at property taxes. I already mentioned Senate Enrolled Act 1, but property taxes continues to be a priority of ours because we know that that bill wasn't the end of those fixes that were needed. And so we're looking at what is that farmland formula and how can we make any little adjustments for that too.
As a podcast that kind of covers the innovation ecosystem, we know that without farmers, we don't have one. And so when you look at this rural landscape and making sure that that remains intact from education to healthcare, economic development, how do you see moving forward in this bucket, so to speak, and the challenges being presented in rural communities right now across Indiana, and what you hope to move forward on most actively in 2026?
Yeah, it all fits together, right? So those rural communities are the backbone to our country and to our state. And when you're in those rural communities, we often see, you know, education not maybe thriving as much as it should be, rural schools closing or combining, a lack of hospitals and healthcare systems. And when you're in rural Indiana, you should be able to, you know, rely on those services just like if you were in Indianapolis or Fort Wayne. And so any legislation that we can support that is efficient, effective government services to maintain those for our members is why that's on our priority list.
There's one more bucket we're going to get to. We're going to span out to a federal level and kind of look ahead a bit more. We'll do that after the break. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Katie Nelson, Executive Director of Public Policy for Indiana Farm Bureau. Katie, supporting Indiana's farms and farmers feels like a straightforward statement, but Indiana farmers lost a lot of farmland here over the last decade to development. When you look at farmland, water, et cetera, what resources need to be tapped into in this third bucket in order for farmers to succeed?
This bucket really hits on, I think, that zoning and land use. So something our delegates did back in August delegate session was add to our policy book that they want us to work on legislation that incentivizes renewable energy projects not to be located on that prime farmland. But if we can try to incentivize that on the non-productive farmland, then that's where it should go. We know that energy is something that we need. When I flip my light switch, I want my lights to be on. And when I come home from work, I want my fridge to be running. And we all are. Our members feel that same thing, but we need to be smart about where that energy production goes. And we still need food, right? Food security is national security. And so how can we get that stuff, those energy projects, onto that more non-productive ground?
Spanning out on a federal level, you know, farmers are facing a lot of challenges right now, whether it's trade, market volatility, high input costs. And during this shutdown, what have those conversations looked like in DC on behalf of your members as you kind of navigate these challenges?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, second longest shutdown so far. But that hasn't changed what our message is, right? Our farmers are still facing the same challenges they were before the shutdown as they are during the shutdown. AFBF just sent a letter to Congress recently that Indiana Farm Bureau and President Crone signed on to. And they listed all of those things that you just mentioned, right? So we want fair and enforceable trade agreements. We need year-round sales of E15. We need to protect interstate commerce. And even things that you might think are small, like restoring whole milk in schools is something that it could impact our farmers. We know we've got a dairy industry here in Indiana. One thing we're happy to see was the FSA offices being open again. That was a big deal. Wish it hadn't taken quite so long to get their attention on that issue, but that was one step forward. And now a lot of the talk has just been about trade.
And in that vein, what trade policies and agreements do you guys have your eyes on at Farm Bureau heading into 2026 that may impact Indiana farmers in terms of our major exports?
Yeah, well, China's the big headline right now, right? We export so many of our soybeans to them every year. The news recently was that there has been a deal with China that they say they're going to buy some soybeans. And so that is really good news, especially in the short term, right? That has farmers feeling a little more optimistic than they maybe were a week or two ago. But I think that the thing we need to focus on are not the headlines. It's those longer-term trade agreements. Farmers need certainty when they're looking to make decisions. They're planting a crop right now that they're not going to harvest until next fall. So they're buying those seeds right now to plant in the spring. They won't harvest them till next fall. And so what's the market going to look like by then? We have no idea. And when things change so quickly, that makes it hard to make those decisions. So we need trade agreements, but we need long-term trade agreements and that certainty for farmers.
When you look at the legislative session of the Indiana General Assembly that's coming up, and you consider this ecosystem that we all exist in here, this ag bioscience community, what's the call to action for everyone here collectively so that we can kind of drive these three buckets forward? What's the call to action?
I think the call to action is to support your farmers, right? But there's ways to do that. And so one of them that I love to talk about is just getting to know your legislator and having a relationship with them so that when there are things that we need to get passed or stopped in the General Assembly, you have that relationship and you can talk to them. And so look up online, find out who it is, meet them for coffee, find them at a district event, because without, you know, this ecosystem, we don't have ag biosciences. And so anything we can do to support farmers to continue growing that food, fuel, and fiber, that helps.
Katie, we really appreciate you taking the time today and wish you well as you head into the legislative session.
Thanks, Kayla. I appreciate it.
And thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't yet. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Kayla Chittister saying thank you for watching or listening. We look forward to seeing you next week on the podcast. Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstay. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.